Hi, I'm Jacob Yaffe.
And I'm Ron Hilton.
We are the composers for Amazon's Free Meek series.
And you are listening to The Annotator.
Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 87, where composers Jacob Yaffe and Ron Hilton talk about their original score for the docuseries Free Meek. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net. Jacob Yaffe is the resident composer for the American Studio Orchestra and is scoring Disney's hit series Andy Mack. He has worked on the trailer campaigns for Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, Ready Player One, Star Wars The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and Rogue One. He has scored over 25 feature films, including Pawn, You Can't Say No, and The Resurrection. Ron Hilton, also known as Firstborn, is a hip-hop, R&B, and pop music producer from Houston, Texas. Ron Hilton was a co-producer with Kane Beats on Nicki Minaj's Super Bass. Hilton has also worked with Flo Rida, Ne-Yo, Trey Songz, Ludacris, Ariana Grande, The Game, and New Boys. The Amazon series Free Meek marks the fourth musical collaboration between Jacob Yaffe and Ron Hilton. Free Meek is a five-part docuseries from Amazon Studios, and the series shows Philadelphia rapper Meek Mill's 2017 arrest for probation violations and the outrage that it sparked. In this series, a reinvestigation of his original case explores allegations of police corruption as Meek becomes the face of a justice reform movement. In this episode, Yaffe and Hilton, while detailing Meek Mill's rollercoaster story, reveal their own story of discovery and creation for the series' music. They discuss the tonal range of the score and the things that help influence that range. They share some of the many challenges they faced on the project, including musically telling Mill's story from multiple perspectives, fusing hip-hop with symphonic music, and helping to provide musical energy to the series while maintaining the crucial human element of the story.
This first piece you're hearing is titled Perseverance, and it was the first theme that we created after talking with our director, Michael John Warren.
He gave us some pretty specific ideas of the emotion that he wanted to make the audience feel for the project. So once we heard what his words were, we immediately were inspired by civil rights era jazz, specifically Donald Byrd.
Yeah, and we wanted to find a way to very simply have like a two or three note shape that we could voice with female vocals, solo cello, piano, guitar, something that no matter what instrument it was, you would recognize it throughout the series.
And what we also wanted to do was encapsulate the story in one piece, specifically, you know, the feelings of Meek pushing up against the system, struggling, growing, rising through the ranks of hip hop, and then ultimately being triumphant in his fight.
This piece in particular, it starts small. It begins almost with just solo female vocals, and it grows and grows and builds, and is used to full effect in the last episode of the series underneath the footage of the Free Meek protest. Starts small and builds all the way to a full horn section and gospel choir.
We love the intimacy of the cello and the female vocals, but the horns give you this feeling of overcoming, and how Michael used this piece to overlay, specifically when Meek gets good news.
The larger section kind of represents the masses, the groundswell of support that he feels from his community.
You get a real sense of this when you can see the whole city behind him during the rally for Free Meek.
But what's really cool is at first, the editors didn't really use this track, but after several months working on the show, it actually became the theme of the series, and they asked us to do different iterations, and so I think we had probably 5-6 different versions that were placed throughout, always to sort of support the idea of overcoming challenges, triumph, you know, kind of like the human spirit.
The really, really interesting part about working on Free Meek was basically there was two different processes, I would say. Early on, we wrote Away From Picture, and because we hadn't seen anything, it was a lot of talking heads and a lot of descriptions, so it was a lot slower paced. But about 4 months in, Michael did recreations, which later we referred to as recrees, of Meek's experiences early on.
They originally were trying to show, and they pulled it off. They had this one particular night that started everything for Meek. It was, I think, in 2007, and he left his house and basically got tackled by the police. And it's really difficult to figure out what really happened, because Meek had his version, the police had his their version, and then there were third-party, you know, innocent bystanders who saw. And with all these recrees, they showed how it looked from different people's point of view.
So our challenge was to tell this story from multiple perspectives, but keep the energy up. So this piece that you hear right now was, you know, basically the first part of that, when the police basically raid the home of he and his uncles, and he gets beaten up pretty bad. That part you know are facts because you can see the pictures. From there, you get three different stories of exactly what happened.
And it starts to really kind of unfold layer by layer, this web of conspiracy, backroom bribes, dirty cops. It's really shocking. And the coolest thing for us was, you know, it wasn't just this, you know, this sort of triumph of the human spirit story. It was like this really deep courtroom drama that we were able to kind of fuse together traditional underscore strings with 808 bass and drums. And it was just like the instruments we got to use were just awesome.
If you hear Meek's story standing alone, you know that it makes perfect fuel for a scripted series. So having the recreations work, it helped us so much in telling the story from a documentary perspective.
And one of the cool things, too, is that a lot of it was inspired by, you know, the crazy news stories that came out. I mean, the guy got sent to prison for popping a wheelie, and somebody captured it on their cell phone and posted it to social media like Instagram or something. And then there were these news stories that got shared around all over the world. And I guess the Philly police saw it and showed up at his house the next day and took him to jail.
Yeah, and so that this part of the story really, really shows how many different ways Meek's career and life could have gone, the many different directions, from just, you know, hanging out with his friends in Philly, literally, to being on stage rapping, then being picked up by the police, not knowing if he's going to be able to make it back to go on tour to be with his family or if he's going to be locked up. And eventually he was locked up for, I think, over 18 months.
And thankfully, Meek had a voice, whereas most of the people in his situation don't. So his high-powered friends, you know, Michael Rubin with the 76ers and Jay-Z, started spreading the word and built through social media the hashtag Free Meek. And thankfully, the Rolling Stone article kind of blew open this case, and they started to, like we said, unpack these layers and get to the truth.
So again, musically, we wanted to be able to fill all those emotions and all those energetic gaps with as much pace as possible, but at the same time using sounds, different palettes to keep the listener interested, but keep it in Meek's world so it could fit seamlessly with his catalog, which, you know, provided a bit of an anchor for us musically.
Yeah, I mean, because it would be really easy to just feature Meek's catalog. You know, you hear his music when he's on stage for those parts of the show. And then for the courtroom stuff, we would just do quote-unquote typical reality show underscore. But we really wanted to try to find a way to fuse elements of hip-hop music and pop music with underscore film, you know, filmic music. And this was just like the perfect platform, perfect canvas for that kind of approach.
Yeah, and the perfect story.
Exactly. So it's like kind of a dream gig for us, because when we first came together, we were like, man, we really got to find something to work on where we get to kind of flex musically. And on top of that, the story just really matters in society. We feel like it's like something that's important and it could enact real change.
Yeah, and I think that speaking of real change, you know, it gets easy as we talk about these things. We've said it often. It gets often to just think about, oh, it's another rapper who's got caught up with the law. But you forget, you know, it's easy to forget anyway, that Meek has a family, that he has a young son who just wants to see his father. He has a mother who's worried about him. Besides millions of fans waiting just to see him perform again. And one of the challenges we wanted to make sure and meet was the human element of this story. This specific cue was one of those pieces where we wanted to introduce a little bit of new instrumentations. As you hear the guitar, we wanted to get a soulful vibe, and at the same time use some piano, so it felt a bit acoustic, but still felt the through line of Meek's sound.
Yeah. You know, we did a lot of nerdy composer things throughout. You know, we thought if it's the courtroom stuff, when it's, you know, the kind of web of conspiracy, we used a lot of synthetic elements. It was analog synths, a lot of arps and pulses that were electronically created. But then when we were dealing with Meek and his family and, you know, kind of the energy of the people, we really focused on acoustic instruments, you know, human voice, that kind of thing.
All while having as much 808 as possible.
Yeah, you got to blend just to keep the energy up, because the idea was, how do we make a bed of music that could transition seamlessly in and out of Meek's music? Because that is some high energy, passionate stuff, and we just wanted to match that level.
So this particular piece is called 19 Charges. And one of the interesting things about the way that Michael tells the story, once you've seen the recreations, you've seen Meek basically get beat up by the cops, and you see him have to appear before the judge. Across the five episodes, the stories have filled out a bit more, but when this first appears, all you see is literally he was charged 19 different times for various things, most of which he denies. He will say that he did have some drugs on him, but he didn't have cocaine. He definitely didn't point the gun at the cops, which they say. And so this piece really is at the end of episode one, I'm pretty sure, and it begins the climax to why Meek ends up in the teeth of the system. So what we wanted to do is let the build go slow, but at the same time, once the charges hit, you can feel the intensity of what's going to be following Meek for the rest of the story.
The outrage, really, we just wanted it to be like, holy crap, this kid is like 17 or 18, 19, he's really young, slapped with 19 charges. And Meek even says it in the show. He's like, this looked like some sort of like list that a terrorist would have as charges against him. And it's just like, he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time when it came down to it.
Right. So musically, again, we wanted to give as much energy as possible, but feel a real sense of responsibility to the story.
Because it's really difficult to tell this story because it lasts so long. And just when you think he's going to have a win, he gets knocked down again. I mean, it's really an epic story. And it was hard to maintain the emotional aspect while also giving the listener all the details.
Yeah, the really, really cool thing about Meek himself is that throughout all of this, he was able to continue to keep his career going and continue to rise. And he even channeled that into his own music. So from album to album, you get a sense of where he's at in his life. You know, you can tell that some of it is dark, but he's using it, you know, dreams to nightmares, you know, wins and losses. These are some of the names of his albums. And so we wanted to make sure that as we're switching between literally the light and the dark concepts, that we're able to have a slow build, and that, you know, eventually there's triumph at the end of the story.
Yeah, and you also see that his friends and family, they start to gain steam as they start to feel hope. And I felt like that was one of the things we really tried to hold on to, especially with the perseverance theme, was that there was a thread of hope throughout that never died despite all of the setbacks with his probation and technical violations and all that stuff.
Yeah, and you definitely get the sense that Meek knew once he was, you know, finishing up everything he was going through, that he was going to reach back and help support people who have gone through the same thing. And I think that was one of the main themes which gave everybody hope, and one of the main themes we wanted to keep going throughout the music.
At the premiere, we had a great time. We actually got to meet Meek's grandmother, his mother, his sister, and his uncles. And it really put it in perspective for us, because, I mean, we've been working on the show for about a year, and to see and hear their reactions, that they, you know, they were very emotional. Of course, they've been living this, but, you know, the ultimate goal for us is we just wanted to tell the story, or help tell the story to the best of our abilities, bring everything we had, bring all the energy and excitement we could.
Yeah, we're excited to be working on projects where we're making art that matters.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with composers Jacob Yoffe and Ron Hilton, and their original score for the Amazon docuseries Free Meek. No information regarding an official release of the original score is currently available. You can find out more and hear more music by Jacob Yoffe at his official site, jacobyoffemusic.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at YoffeJ. You can also follow Ron Hilton on Twitter at FBTheMastermind. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net, or you can subscribe wherever quality podcasts are found. Wherever you do listen, we'd love for you to leave us a rating and a review. If you know someone you think might enjoy The Annotator, please tell them about the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator, or on Facebook or Instagram at The Annotator, or we'd love to get your feedback via email, and you can send it to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.